Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I was talking to Marilyn Miller about this at the Walk of Fame induction because, you know, she was the producer for Wally Phillips at a time, about, 25 years before the internet? And somewhere back in that day, the tradition, which still goes on to today, of, hey, Steve, just so you know, it's raining in Palatine. Hey, Steve, it's raining in Joliet. That started with this audience.
Yeah.
And the helpful members of this audience still call in weather reports all the time.
I got a call one time in the newsroom. Someone said, hey, it's snowing in Dubuque. Yeah, hey, and thanks for listening. Cool.
Yeah, and we still are. We're two clicks away from looking at our own weather maps, even though Grzanich's map is drunk. But the fact of the matter is, those calls are still appreciated. It's, you know, it's good to know because you can have stuff pop up here and there.
Right, absolutely.
But I'm here to tell you, regardless of what frightening newsman Steve Grzanich is trying to tell you, is I am putting money on the fact that the majority of Chicago will be dry throughout the day.
Yeah.
The greater Chicago area.
Good, especially during your golf game.
I don't know if I'm playing golf.
Right.
Politics later on the program. So I'm in Walgreens last night. I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just trying to check out. And there's a small guy in front of me who speaks broken English. And he was short on not just stature, but short on paying for what he had. He just was a little short on cash and didn't have his credit card with him. So I paid for, you know, his stuff. And Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi's in town, and I just paid for his stuff.
That is very nice
of
you.
I mean, I just thought it'd be a nice thing to do.
It's like paying it forward.
Yeah. Now, he is worth about $1 billion, but he didn't have any cash on him.
You saw the list this week, right? I think he was number two on the...
Two worldwide.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that happens. I understand. Yeah, you know, you don't have cash on you.
I said, Lionel. Lionel. And I said, let me tell you, Lionel, I took 2 years of Spanish. So I was able to, you know, to communicate with him, you know, just completely fluently. I said, hola, Lionel. I said, muy dinero. ¿Y tú? And then I gave him some, and I said, mula, la mula. And then I gave him the money, and then he was on his way.
It's uncanny. I couldn't tell if that was you or Vicente Fox.
Yeah, it really is the same, isn't it?
Did you call him by his nickname?
The messy one?
No, the flea. La pulga? Pulga?
Yeah,
P-U-L-G-A.
Yeah, it's la pulga.
Pulga.
Yeah, la pulga.
Yeah, okay. Should have said that. Hey, Mr. Yeah. La pulga.
Yeah, well, I didn't think flea would be a nice thing to call him in the middle of, you know, Walgreens. You know, but it was 10 bucks, you know? I mean, big deal.
That's very nice. Yeah. Again, pay it forward, and he'll probably do the same thing. Maybe he'll send you a car.
Now, here's the problem. I go outside, and there's Ronaldo. Is it Ronaldo? Is that the other guy?
Ronaldo.
Yeah. Is it Ronaldo? Is that the other guy?
I think.
There's Ronaldo, and he's walking down the street, and he goes, Steve, I'm headed for the Nike store. Could I borrow 20 bucks? And I said, sure, Ronaldo, here's your money. Is he even in town for Copa America? I don't think he is. I don't think they played.
No, they're gone.
So, yeah, just helping out Lionel Messi, that's all. Speaking of sports, Ryan Dempster later as well. All right, so there is a rape case that's gotten international notice in the past couple of days. Why has it stood out in the way it stood out? Because it appears that the student who committed the rape and has been convicted of the same has been given special treatment because he comes from a family with some money and influence and is a Stanford student who was a promising athlete and potentially an Olympic swimmer. His name is Brock Turner. He was given a six-month sentence for raping an intoxicated, unconscious woman by a dumpster on campus. A couple of brave students actually tackled the dude as they caught him and he tried to run away and held him down until the cops arrived. Mm-hmm. The judge in the case appears, and a lot of legal experts chiming in on this seem to agree, appears to have taken the perpetrator's side over the victim's side. And in the process of meeting out the sentence, actually said, you know, this is something that could ruin his life over the long term. So for that reason. Yeah. Now, the sentence should have been, by all accounts, a minimum of 8 years. It could have been as long as 16. In some cases, some people say there was an exception where he could have gotten 20 years. And there's a whole discussion going on now about campus rape that's gone on over the last couple of years in the country. And one of the things that's come up continually is you look at rape statistics on campus is high-dollar, quote, privileged schools seem to have a tremendous amount of problems with sexual assault cases and improper justice going on campus over these cases. So the bottom line is this. I think there's a couple things that need to be said. One is that there is a certain mindset, a certain sickness that goes into someone that commits a sexual assault. It doesn't come about because you're an athlete. It doesn't come about because you come from a rich family. It doesn't come about because you're white. If you're a rapist, you're someone who is willing to commit violence against a woman. Everybody that's ever studied rape in any way, shape, or form will tell you it's not about sex. It's about domination. It's about a mental illness, and it's about a crime.
Right, power.
This kid is sick. This kid needs to be in jail. Now, you can take a kid who may have a disposition to that kind of behavior and make it much worse when you have a father who backs him up the way the father of this kid appears to have backed him up in a letter that he wrote where he chose some words very poorly and said, why would his life be ruined over 20 minutes of action like this? Now, he could have meant something else, but it certainly came out as callous and cold. Fold that into the fact that the assailant here, this Brock Turner, has not expressed any public remorse for what he did to this girl whatsoever.
No.
So it sends a terrible message to women everywhere. It sends a terrible message to you if you send your daughter off to college. You know, it's one of the more frightening things in the world anyway, one of those steps in life when you send your kids off to school because you're turning them loose into the wilderness one more time. You can't protect them. You hope you've given them enough tools to protect themselves. But in the world of date rape drugs and things of that nature, there are people who will commit sexual assault and those who won't. And I'm here to tell you, and Dave, you can contradict me if you know somebody that I don't. I know a lot of people. I have never in my life, in my circle of friends, people I've been around, including people I'm not fond of at all, and men talk about sex a lot, I have never come across anyone who has publicly said it's okay to have sex with a woman when she's unconscious, when she's drunk, or it's okay because she made me think she wanted to and she doesn't get to say no now. Mm-hmm. The old rule still applies. No is no. I don't care if you're the biggest slut in town. If you say no, it's over. And anybody that goes beyond that, you don't get to say you were drunk. You don't get to say you were stoned. You don't get to say, she led me on. No is no. That's the last line of defense. No matter when it's said, including if after the game has begun, no is still no. Anything beyond that is a sexual assault and it's rape. And by the way, I know women that contradict that statement. Sorry. I'm telling you, that's the line.
No, it's ridiculous.
That is the absolute clear line, and you don't get to say as a man, she led me on. Because if you are in any way a human being and you've been in that circumstance and some woman has decided it isn't going to happen, it's not going to happen.
Right.
And if somebody's unconscious, this kid is sick, he's been raised by wolves to some extent until it's proven differently, and he has to be in jail. But I don't want people walking around thinking that rape is a choice that occasionally men make. I don't know any men who do that. I mean, Dave, do you come across anybody in your life who's like that?
No. No.
And I do think women have some notion in their head that occasionally a guy might go, well, I'm just going to rape her then. Men don't think like that. Criminals think like that. Sexual assault perpetrators think like that. Unfortunately, it's a very small part of the population. But when this judge steps up and makes a decision like that, he invalidates the victim and he validates the criminal.
Completely. By the way, the petition that they have now, there's a petition that people are signing
to change.org
to kick him off the bench, which you can do in California. Judges can be recalled. That's well over 200,000 people as of this morning to recall this judge, who also went to Stanford, by the way.
So it's not every guy. It's not even a small percentage of guys. It's a tiny percentage of sick, twisted guys who have no socioeconomic category they fit into. They're rich people. They're poor people. They're people in the middle. They're all sick. They're all, as Letterman used to say, they ain't hooked up right. There's something wrong between the ears and in their soul that would allow them to do this. But if you commit a sexual assault, if the only way you can have sex is to force sex on a woman, it's you. You're the criminal, you're the problem, and you have shortcomings on every level.
You know, I don't think Dan Turner, the father, did his son any favors with this letter.
No.
And by the way, if he didn't mean what he said he meant, then follow it up. Say, I chose some words incredibly poorly, and I'm sorry I wrote that. And, of course, the victim is the most important thing here. He hasn't said a word.
No.
So there's some measure of feeling like, you know, his son deserved better.
Who cares what this kid eats? Who cares he can't, has no appetite?
By the way, who cares about this kid?
Oh, right.
Well,
this kid is a grown man.
But I'm saying that's his. He's justifying it by saying, well, it's his life. His life has been altered.
Yeah, I mean, by his choice.
Are you kidding?
His life has been altered because he made that choice to commit that crime at that time.
By the way, did you hear the defense attorney? Brock Turner's defense attorney was on TV last night acknowledging, not admitting, but acknowledging, yeah, it was a really light sentence. He said, yeah, if this had been my daughter, I would have wanted the book thrown at him. It's his own attorney.
Yeah, look, it's an awful case.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can learn from it is the judge needs to go, apparently, and this kid needs to go to jail for much longer than 6 months. And I don't know legally if there's anything you can do about it now. Because here's the thing. 6 months is nothing. You're telling me after 6 months he's not going to get out and do it again? I'll be stunned if he doesn't.
You thought that they had disappeared forever. But this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, the four horsemen.
And the girl horsemen.
Are you listening, horsemen? You will get what's coming to you.
Thank you, everybody!
In ways you can't expect.
Now the greatest magicians in the world are my magic trick.
Trailer for Now You See Me 2 opens this weekend. I didn't see the first one. I heard good reviews. Did I miss something in the first one that I should see in the second?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the second one. And the first one is a really, really stupid movie. And it's really ridiculous. But it's one of those movies that every single time I watch it on cable, I like it better.
I've heard like Ocean's 11 with magic, that kind of vibe, no?
Yeah, but it's dumber than that. It's a really dumb movie. But it's one thing. But seriously, I can't stop watching it when it's on cable.
Okay.
And of the three movies coming out this weekend, there's Warcraft, there's The Conjuring 2, which I'm actually looking forward to because the first one was very scary and this one's supposed to be good. But this is the one I think is going to be the most fun. And it reminded me that the first one is one of those movies that I call a remote dropper.
Yeah, you did a list about this. Can people add to this list on your social?
Yeah, they can. Of course they can. I would love to hear if you guys have any, because the number one on my list, see if you agree with me on this, this is when you got the remote, you're flipping around, you're trying to find something, boom, you come across a movie.
Yeah, you're not changing channels anymore. That's a remote dropper.
Number one on mine, Midnight Run, mm-hmm. without question.
It's a great movie. Phenomenal movie.
Yep, Tommy Boy is on my list.
I agree with you, Tommy Boy. I'll leave Tommy Boy on. The next one, though, is my big one for 2013, 14, 15, 16, and beyond.
And that's The Other Guys.
The Other Guys I have seen 9 million times. The Other Guys in Blazing Saddles, I'll take the batteries out of a remote.
Smokey and the Bandit's another one for me.
Sure.
Of course, Mad Max Fury Road.
That's where we lost each other.
Yeah.
Somewhere on Fury Road.
Now, have you seen Fury Road yet?
No, I haven't. I should watch it before I mock it.
Yes, you should.
But then that's, and then, you know, that would
and
be...
Like, and my cousin Vinny is the other one.
Yeah, no, listen, it's great. Not a lot of time here, but Andrea, you got a remote dropper?
I don't yet.
You don't have a movie that you will keep you from switching channels?
Well, older movies, like When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, that's fine. That's a remote dropper for you.
Godfather, too, as well.
Sure.
I know it's on all the time. But
Godfather 3, I'll rush to the TV, point awful. The remote right at the box to make sure the channel will change.
That was the worst.
Mary, do you have a remote dropper?
Oh, Miss Congeniality is on constantly, and I always have to go watch it. I don't know why. I just do.
That's funny because some of them you don't have an explanation for. Me, like I've got Now You See Me is on that list, and it's a ridiculous movie, but I can't help but watch it every time it comes on.
Dave?
Jaws. It was on over the Saturday, I think, on AMC.
The ending change?
No, you know what? It's funny that still ends up the same.
I still watch Titanic, hoping they live, you know? Maybe the boat won't sink this time. Jake? Or Mary? Either way?
I got to go Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank? Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on constantly, but...
Problem with Shawshank is if you get the scene in The Escape at the end and you click it on at the wrong time and you go, oh, I can't watch that. There's 4 minutes of that movie, which are really hard to watch. I mean, harder than most. There's a lot of that movie that are hard to watch, but it is Shawshank. Sandberg, you got a remote dropper?
She says Pretty Woman.
Oh, that's God. One of mine, too.
Maybe we could do a Pretty Woman Miss Congeniality double feature for the two Marys.
Oh, both Marys would be right there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Or
Tuesday, I should say. Thanks. That's Nick DiGilio.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I know how it feels to have waged a hard-fought campaign, and my supporters were passionate. Senator Sanders' supporters were passionate. I really totally respect their feelings. I called Senator Sanders last night to congratulate him on the really extraordinary campaign that he has run. And I'm looking forward to working with him to achieve our common goal, which is to defeat Donald Trump. And Senator Sanders has said he'll work every day, every week to see that happen.
All right, 6:42 now. When we got terrible job numbers last Friday, Donald Trump spent the weekend talking about his, not the country, talking about his Trump University case, missed opportunity. So do we have a new Donald Trump now? A new, mature, grown-up Donnie J? Or do we have the same Donald Trump? And is Hillary now the, because she is the, you know, the nominee, is Hillary ready to move forward, or is she going to get tripped up by the Clinton Global Initiative mess on top of the emails and more honesty questions? Bring in Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. Nobody better than Chuck on all of this. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Steve. I'm all right.
And, you know, in two words, I'm all right. It seems to, you can feel the wear and tear of campaign 2016 on Chuck Todd.
Oh, you know, just five more months of the freak show.
All right, so do we get new Trump or old Trump going forward?
Oh, you're going to get the same Trump. He himself just said it, did another interview, I think it was for the New York Times, you know, where the reporter noted that when he used the word pivot, Trump himself cringed. He doesn't believe in that stuff. So, no, Trump is Trump, and he's convinced he's done this his way. That, you know, the advice he's getting from Washington is too politically correct, is what he said in the interview. I mean, you know, past behavior is indicative of future performance. And I think we know, you know, he's not what you saw Tuesday night, which at times felt like a hostage video. the actual definition of it, you must read this. And he read it.
Right.
And he read it with all the gusto of somebody who's being forced to read something.
So why do it then? Who's in his ear? Who's in his ear that says you have got to change and you've got to make this response tonight? Who did he listen to at least for a day?
My guess is Ivanka. It's usually the person that has the best opportunity to get to him is his daughter, who will say to him, you know, you've got, you know. And here's the motivation for why he went ahead and did it, is that he needs the party to at least be with him, to at least say they're with him, and if just to pay for this. He did not want to pay for this campaign himself. And, you know, if the party walks away from him, if the leaders walk away, he's going to have a hard time paying for this campaign.
And this judicial mess that he created, that he flamed up, and that he continued to set more fires to, that's costed him, has cost him support all over. You know, the Koch brothers.
It has, and I have to tell you this: I think he's on double secret probation with the rest of the Senate Republicans. I mean, to watch them do the gymnastics, there's a whole bunch. Well, he still has time. He still has time. You're like, okay, but he doesn't have any more margin for error. I think if he has another run in with, you know, something that just makes where every member of the Republican Party is being asked to, you know, what do they think of this, and it happens before the convention, I think he's got some problems, and I think he needs to start worrying about that convention.
So if we have two cars about to crash, one's Trump, the other's Clinton, and Clinton's car has the Clinton Global Initiative problem on top of the email scandal, is this CGI thing big enough, or is it too weighty and too layered and too detailed to become an issue?
You know, in an odd way, because Trump's the opponent, it probably, I don't want to say it mutes it, but it can mitigate it. The other thing that she has going for her in a negative way is this. Is anything going to be new information to voters? Oh, so the Clintons, you know, use the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative for access. And all of that, is that going to be news to people, or is that going to be same old of the Clintons? And when you're going against Trump, it allows it, there's a chance that it just doesn't have the same impact that it would if she were running against, say, Marco Rubio.
Chuck, Bernie Sanders meets with President Obama today. Of course, at some point, he is going to have to concede, I would think. Do you think it's going to happen sooner rather than later after he meets with the president? And do you see him actively campaigning with Hillary Clinton?
I do, and it all looks pretty orderly to me, to be honest. You know, the president now he was smart not to officially endorse it. It's allowed him to play the role he's going to play today. I think it's Bernie seems to be in a place that acknowledges that he's not going to win this thing. And look, I think losing California by double digits helps get him to this reality. And I think, like I said, is it going to happen, you know, this week? Probably not, but I think it happens next week. I mean, this all feels pretty orderly, and it'll mean, you know, Sanders, they have leverage over Sanders. He wants to be a player in the U.S. Senate, and the Democratic leaders can decide whether this independent who caucuses with the Democrats can be a committee chair or not. And so, you know, I think he's going to play ball.
The vice presidential question will get louder and louder as the weeks go on here, as we get closer to the convention. I'm convinced people closest to me, she needs to convince Biden to stick around. It's the fallback program. It's never been done. It gives her credibility. Yeah, there's an age issue, but she needs to convince the VP to stay.
I think she could do a lot worse, that's for sure. I mean, I think that you could picture that fairly easily if, you know, the public would accept that, I think, pretty comfortably. The party would accept that pretty comfortably. You know, I think, though, that when you're running you're running where you're already sort of been around forever. Do you want a whole ticket that's been around Washington forever? I mean, it does just hand the change message even more so to Trump. But then again, if you believe that the best way to counter Trump is to be steady, then obviously a Clinton-Biden ticket would provide that. I happen to think that, you know, look, she'll either go extremely conventional, which would be Tim Kaine out of Virginia, you know, a little bit younger, sort of previous generation, all those things. Or, you know, I think she goes out, if she goes outside the norms, keep an eye on Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Interesting.
I could see her going with him. Here's what I've been told by people close to her. She would love to pick a general or a former general. Now, he's been a former admiral, not a general, obviously a Navy guy. But she knows a lot of those guys pretty well. That wouldn't totally shock me.
Well, it would also mute the possibility of Trump pulling that and finding, though I'm wondering who it would be, but finding a general who he could name as VP before she does it. Though I could be wrong about this, but I think Trump's looking hard at Yakov Smirnoff. You know, he's
there. You go. There you go.
You know, he's somebody.
It would allow. He loves Eastern Europe.
Well, you said it before I did, my friend.
Yes, there you go.
Chuck Todd, meet the press. Meet the press Sunday morning, back at your regular time, right? We're post tennis.
We are back at the regular time. Hallelujah. Yes.
All right, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Chuck Todd from NBC News. Don't you think Yakov Smirnoff, Dave?
You know, wouldn't be a bad idea at this point.
He stood up to the Russians back in the day, you know, but he could also be a bridge to a better relationship.
Mm-hmm. How's his health? Is he okay?
Yakov?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could have a Yakov Vladimir Putin summit. Smirnoff Putin. Putin Smirnoff. Yakov, Vladdy.
Wouldn't it be Smirnoff? Wait a minute.
I don't know. There's vodka involved somehow. Yeah. Oh, there's a glint in his eyes. Obama can't wait to campaign. I believe Barack Obama would be happiest if he could just campaign every 4 years. I mean, he doesn't win anything. He liked it so much better than being president. Running for office made him happy.
You know what would be fun if he had like a kickoff party? Kickoff barbecue on the White House lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have a throwdown.
Balloon animals. It'd be fun.
Who makes balloon animals on the staff? Do we know?
I don't know. Bags. They could play cornholes.
We expect the president to be on the campaign trail possibly as soon as this weekend. He was in New York and on Jimmy Fallon this week for the first time. I think that's right. That's the first time he did the Fallon's Tonight Show. Done just about every other show. Here's a clip.
Is Bernie going to endorse Hillary?
Well, I'm sure they're going to have a conversation.
Is he ever going to drop out? We're just going to stay in. And he's like,
yeah, I'm going to be talking tomorrow. He's going to be coming to the White House. And the main role I'm going to be playing in this process is to remind the American people that this is a serious job. This is not reality TV.
Do you think the Republicans are happy with their choice?
We are, but I don't know how they're I don't know how they're feeling. Actually, you know what? That was too easy. But the truth is, actually, I am worried about the Republican Party, and I know that sounds, you know what it sounds like.
Like BS.
Yeah.
Like the president, the Democrats would be worried about the Republican Party. To be honest, as a president, you should be worried about the Republican Party. I am. Because if you're the president of the United States, you'd be worried about having the other major party in the country collapsing on itself. So, next hour, Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein, and Rick Pearson. Edelstein and Brady in studio. Pearson on the phone. Is that the plan? That's all coming up on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Here we are in the state capitol on Wednesday. No speaker, no supermajority, no General Assembly in session. Speaker Madigan and his supermajority are clearly working to create a crisis. Clearly putting stress in the system, threatening our schools.
You may recall election night, I never did talk to Bruce Browner. I never officially and formally congratulated him for winning that night. I'd like to do that right now, correct that oversight. I'm saying this in the hopes that the governor, 18 months into his term of office, will finally stop campaigning and start managing the state he was elected to run.
7-Eleven, it's the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 667. We'll get to the budget, and we'll get to the S show that is Springfield. I think we know what the S in Springfield actually stands for at this point, at least when it comes to the government.
Silly?
Nope. Let's go to Rick Pearson, though, on a Chicago Tribune request for the emails of Gary McCarthy. And Rick, what does the Tribune hope to see here, or at least want to see here? Is it something revelatory about why he was fired?
Well, I think it's, an open question here. Certainly, when you go back to the circumstances of how his firing, you had Rahm Emanuel professing great faith in him. And then, literally in a matter of hours, you saw that the mayor, basically threw him under the bus. So, I think it's relevant to see what were kind of the issues going on revolving that.
The morning that he was fired, he did his last interview here with me, and the morning that he was fired, he was scheduled to leave here and at least leave the radio here and do Channel 9. And he called Channel 9 and said that there was a meeting that he was called to, and our understanding is that he thought the meeting was about something else because the day before, a couple days before, he was told he would not be fired. So any indication or has anybody said anything about what could have changed Rahm's mind?
Not really. It's kind of, we want to see what is part of the public record of what led to that decision and what may have changed, literally in a matter of moments.
It's part of the Tribune's effort to get this information out. And if you're going to release how many videos, whatever the number of videos that were released this week that Andrea, you and your team went through, if you're going to do that and claim transparency, then this would be part of the transparency as well.
Well, yes. And we have every mayor, every governor that comes in says they're the most transparent. And, this we very seriously take public records seriously, and that is part of how we get the decisions that are made, and we go to court and fight for them as well.
Now, Hillary Clinton's people are very skilled in the email area. Could they consult Rahm's people on this?
Well, in fact, that was one of the issues where actually the Tribune just recently won a case where the mayor's use of a private cell phone. The city was claiming that was not part of the public record, even though we argued that if the mayor is conducting city business on a private phone, that is part of the public record, and we won that case.
So we salute the Chicago Tribune for making the effort to do this, because they go after all of this stuff that should be brought forward. And in a city that has been fairly and unfairly at times labeled as Scandal City in America, certainly, you know, the faster you clear this stuff up, the better. In other words, if you really want Chicago labeled appropriately as a great city and a city to do business is and a city to live in, then show what's the problem, what the problems are, and show that you're cleaning them up.
Well, I mean, public record laws in a number of places, particularly Florida, are very open, and you know, it's on the city or government side to say why it shouldn't be released. But for the most part, it's presumed to be open. And quite frankly, in a lot of places, including Illinois, it's the obverse, that you have to fight to get those records released.
Stand by. We're going to do a traffic update here, and then I want to ask you a question about the S show that is Springfield. Hold on. Here's Mary. What do you have?
Still have an accident on I-80 eastbound at Harlem, blocking the left lane. Otherwise, heavy delays coming in on the Eisenhower. Hour 10 from 53 and 52 minutes from Mannheim, up on about 34 to 53. Inbound Kennedy up to 38 from O'Hare. 32 outbound, 22 on the inbound Edens. Stevenson 44 from the Tri-State, and the Ryans 20 from 95th into downtown. No big problems on the tolls, just delays 75th to 55 traveling the Tri-State. Mary Vandeville, WGN Traffic Central.
Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. It is the Rick Pearson Experience, your political throwdown, your political wang-dang-doodle. What do you call that show, Rick?
It's the Sunday Spin.
Got a plug for it?
Yes, I've got former Governor Jim Edgar is on the show. Alderman Howard Brookins will be talking about what we're going to be talking about here coming up.
Governor Edgar came out this week and said, you know, I have never, ever seen it this bad. Did he take any credit for being in office when the problem got worse?
Well, he took credit for the fact that he was able to work with Speaker Madigan. Now, certainly Bruce Rauner will argue that things happened at that time that over the decades have contributed to the problem that we're in, but the fact of the matter is it comes down to having a budget, and we're nowhere any further than we have been, despite increased rhetoric since the end of May from the end of the legislative session. The only progress we've seen is in the heat of the rhetoric rather than getting any kind of a budget.
Well, this is what I wish the governor would do, even though the whole kit and caboodle of them need to grow the hell up and do their jobs. And by the way, the kit and caboodle is an actual measuring device. I would like Governor Rauner to stand up and say it's Wednesday and the speaker has not called a session. I am here, I'm ready, and I am willing to work with him. But I feel, as governor of the state, that the legislature should be in session as well. That's it. That's the whole statement.
Frankly, I don't even know why we need a statement. I think there's too
much. But I'm saying that's healthier than Madigan is trying to, you know, shoot a harpoon into the middle of it,
I understand, but quite frankly, you know, we already had 2 days of full hard rhetoric leading up to Wednesday. The talking is, we're past talking. Now it's just trying to score points even further. No more talking. Just close the door, be quiet. I think that's what everybody needs.
So why can't Madigan do that? Why won't he do that, and why didn't he do that?
Well, there are closed-door talks going on. There were closed-door talks going on yesterday.
Between?
I mean, the working groups were meeting yesterday.
Yeah, but, you know, again, the working groups. I mean, I'm not giving you a hard time about this. You're just reporting the news. I don't give a rat's butt about the working groups. The state's on fire. I mean, put the five of them in the room and shut the door. Nobody gets out. Nobody gets a shower. Get it done.
Well, that would be fine, too. But I will tell you, the working groups in the past, this is how you get to a budget, is you have a working group that's all the appropriation committee people who are specialists in doing the budget, and they get together. And then
listen, I get it. I understand that. And I understand that on that level. I also understand that these clowns that claim to be running the state are in a position now where they think they're so self-important, they are not responsible this late in the game to get it done. It's outrageous.
Well, I will say, for the legislature to have met yesterday, frankly, there was nothing for the legislature as a whole to do. There was nothing for the 118 House members and the 59 Senate members to do. There were for individual working groups, and indeed those working groups did meet. They didn't meet in Springfield. They met here in Chicago, but they met. The exercise of having the legislature meet as a whole would not have served much of a purpose, except maybe to cost us more money for them for their travel expenses.
Rick, what's the point of the governor's stopgap budget tour if he's trying to drum up support for this temporary spending plan, which probably won't pass because it didn't get support for the big budget plan? Isn't this kind of an exercise in futility?
Well, you have both sides playing politics. It's all about scoring points. It's the governor trying to make sure that the stamp of failure to come up with a budget, failure to come up with a spending plan, perhaps even failure to open the schools in the fall, the governor is trying to put that brand on the Democrats. And, of course, the Democrats have been doing the same thing in their individual districts when they face reelection this fall. So it's pure campaign rhetoric. There's very little substantive action going on. The governor and Republicans proposed a short-term budget measure on the final day of session, as well as a full-year state school funding plan, over 1,000 pages. It couldn't legally be acted on that quickly, despite what Republicans say. It's that timing technical issue. But that is, those bills are actually the basis for some of the negotiations that are going on in these working groups that we've talked about.
Well, and this is why I am calling for a full mental workup of everybody that runs the state of Illinois. And I will take I'm going to take the first competency exam. We're going to have a therapist in here. They're going to give it to me to determine whether or not I'm competent. And by the way, I may not be. And then we're going to give it to Rauner, and we're going to give it to Madigan and Cullerton and Durkin and Redonio, and see if they can prove that they ought to be running the state of Illinois.
I'm not sure how you could be determined not competent, given the way we've had this state being run.
I guess just read the Tribune and listen to this show.
Well, we are totally focused on the November election. That's really what you're seeing here.
But that's not okay. That's my point. That's not okay. We've let these people get away with failure at the basic tenet of the job, have a budget to run the government. Why is it okay that we're sitting around and waiting till November?
Well, I mean, part of it is the ideology of the governor and trying to push the turnaround agenda and those items. You've got the speaker and, of course, traditional Democratic constituencies that would be affected by the turnaround agenda. And I mean, not only have we, blown past a deadline for more than a year on a budget, but we are rapidly approaching this meltdown of the public schools, and will they open in the fall? That seems to be truly what we've talked about, those pressure points in the past, but that seems to be the one that everybody's looking at right now.
It's just unbelievable. It's just an absolute dereliction of duty. If you could file a malpractice suit against all of them. We laugh when second and third world countries dissolve their parliaments on a whim and dissolve their governments on a whim. If I could find a flush handle in Springfield, I'd hit it today.
Well, I mean, it is going to be very curious to see how this plays out in November, too. Yeah, but even if we do get a school funding plan, if we get a short-term budget plan adopted, whatever, it's going to be very interesting how in the fall with the legislative elections to see if there is a true anti-incumbent mood that exists. And I'd kind of be curious, especially downstate, because that would be more akin to places that would support Donald Trump, for example.
I would love to see who, I'll leave you this, I would love to see who Mike Madigan will work with. If Governor Rauner stood up today and said, okay, I'll step aside. I'd like to see Mike Madigan's list of people he's willing to work with, where he's willing to compromise on anything.
Well, I mean, Madigan compromised in the past with Jim Edgar.
I don't care about the past, I care about now. Who's he willing to compromise with today?
His apple and his paring knife.
I thought that might be the case. When do you expect to hear on the emails on McCarthy?
We're not sure. The city, of course, can claim research delays, so we're not exactly sure.
We're trying to contact the people that hit delete.
Yes.
Thank you, Rick. Look at get back to the Springfield nonsense shortly, but Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. Eric, your company's name is what?
AL Media Strategy.
And you're mostly in the As Seen on TV business? Is that what you guys do?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Pat Brady, your company?
Next Generation Strategies.
Thanks you both for being here, as always. Even if there's no vice presidential news, I'd like to start there. VP News, Democrats first.
How about Al Franken as Hillary's running mate?
That's legitimate consideration.
I mean,
right?
He's been a serious senator he was reelected. He's in his second term. He's a guy that has a wicked biting sense of humor. Obviously, he's a professional comedy writer and appeared on Saturday Night Live. And in this, politics as spectacle, I think he can walk that line between being a serious, substantive guy as well as really eviscerating Trump, therefore allowing Hillary to put forth a little bit more of a positive vision and she doesn't have to do all the heavy lifting.
Did you hear Chuck Todd's suggestion of Admiral Mullen?
I did not.
Yeah, he thought Admiral Mullen might be on the short list, and the idea would be she would like to have a military member of good standing, and also that obviously mutes the possibility of Trump doing the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's got a ton of options. I don't think that it's particularly limited. Personally, politically, I don't think she needs the military chops in the same way that a Trump or lots of other kinds of candidates would. I think she's established that throughout her career, certainly as Secretary of State. But I think she can do lots of things. What I don't think she'll do is have an all-female ticket, not because it's unelectable or wouldn't be a great idea, but I just think when you're the first, mm-hmm. There's a psychological part that says, well, the ticket's not the first, I'm the first. And so I think she'll look for balance that way. But I think the sky's the limit in terms of who she picks.
What about a foreign despot or dictator who benefited from the Clinton Global Initiative? Any chance that they'd be named?
No, because then they couldn't write checks to the – they'd be prevented from – no, I'm just kidding.
I agree with you, though. I don't think she'll pick a woman for that reason. But we were talking earlier. What do you
think? Oh, this country's not ready for two women.
Oh,
holy mackerel.
I know.
We just got one.
God forbid, right?
Well, as somebody said to that response, they've picked the same sex for the last 44 choices, so maybe it's okay again.
There is gender precedent of two
there
of the same.
Said it better than I
did. There you go, yep.
All right, on the Trump side, I mentioned Yakov Smirnoff. He's tanned, he's rested and ready, and he seems perfect for the ticket. Who else?
Who's going to take it? Who would take that? I mean,
what are the chances he doesn't ask anybody? It's been a long time.
He might ask his daughter. I mean,
there's been a long time since a president has run with no vice president. I think Truman was the last guy that didn't have a vice president for a period of time.
Okay, he has raised no money. We talked about this. They said you need to raise $1 billion. He's not going to do that. They're talking maybe as low as $300 million. Mm-hmm. The last week with the judge thing and the racist comments, as described by Speaker Ryan, who wants to take it? I can't think of anybody right now that would want to take it unless you're just done with politics. And
well, Christie. His lapdog, Governor Christie.
I'm not even sure Christie did. He caught so much grief for the behavior at the endorsement time. I really don't know who he's going to get.
Is it possible, as the Trump insider said yesterday, that he will name it on Twitter? That was a concern.
I think it's probable, isn't it? I
mean, that was one of the concerns of the Trump organization, that he would miss the moment and not be able to stop himself, and he'd name his VP on Twitter.
I think this convention is going to be a show like you've never seen.
Do you still think there's zoo possibilities in Cleveland?
Meaning that
the convention?
There's a revolt?
Just that it'll be a nutty good time.
I think instead of balloon drops, it's going to be flying monkeys. It's going to be.
Can I ask Pat, that some of the comments from some of the Republican leadership saying the next 4 or 5 weeks are crucial for Trump, is the suggestion sort of threatening that they actually could still take the nomination from him?
I think so. You're seeing some momentum in that. We were talking about the other day, and there's an article in National Review today, how the Rules Committee meets right before the convention.
All right, now hold that, because this is deep. I don't want to shortchange this. When we come back, give us your best understanding of how that would work. I'm getting excited. I may go to Cleveland.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Now, I know some people say I'm too much of a fighter. My preference is always peace, however. And I've shown that. I've shown that for a long time. I've built an extraordinary business on relationships and deals that benefit all parties involved, always. My goal is always, again, to bring people together.
The unions for clowns and donkeys have asked Donald Trump to stop referencing them by extension every time he opens his mouth. So Eric brought up a point. Eric Edelson's here brought up a point to Pat Brady before the break. Are there Republican leaders who still believe that they could usurp Trump, especially if he goes down another, hey, that judge is a Mexican road?
I think there are. And the way it would work, and it's a long shot, is right before the convention, which is in 4 or 5 weeks, the Rules Committee of the convention meets, and they can enact a rule that allows pledged delegates like me, Kasich delegates, to quote-unquote vote your conscience, so you're not bound to your candidate, so these Trump people could be released. It's a long shot, but the one thing, you know, Trump fighting with the establishment people, the 168 people that are members of the Republican National Committee and the enemies he's made, again, I think it's a long shot, but it could happen, especially if we have 2 or 3 more stupid weeks like this.
All right, so what you're saying is that all delegates would be able to vote their conscience, mm-hmm. and therefore that large number of Trump delegates, which on paper is enough to get them over the top, would then be able to be defectors of sorts, which would get him under the number he needs to actually secure the official nomination, which would throw it into a second ballot or a third ballot.
Exactly. And like a state like Illinois that has the 69 delegates, I think only 39 of them are pledged Trump delegates. And there's a lot of these folks didn't realize that when you sign up to be a delegate, you actually have to pay to go to the convention. And so they're having problems with these delegates actually getting them there. And this is always a problem, but particularly a problem with some of the Trump people. So I think a lot of the people they think that are going to be there may not be there.
We have to pay for admission to the convention?
No, it's just the whole thing. It's probably $5,000 start to finish to go, hotel, fees. It's not inexpensive to go.
So people don't understand that when they sign up?
No. I remember when we did McCain, people were like, well, where's my stipend for the convention? I'm like, it's in your back pocket.
Little fundraisers. But I think it's ironic that they're going to try to pass a conscience provision, given that the Trump campaign is a completely conscience-free zone. That's a couple
reasons.
That's
a CFC?
Conscience-free zone. Yeah, completely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Is Hillary female? Did I hear that this week?
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. I just hadn't heard it much this week. I want to make sure it was pointed out.
Yeah, that was the reference. Not actually.
Oh, I
not,
see.
Not
I
the
see.
Joke that it went to. By the way, I mentioned this earlier this week. Regardless of how you feel about Hillary, it's a big deal.
Sure, again, absolutely.
It's a milestone, it is a big deal. Again, yep. That we have finally gotten around to nominating a woman for the White House. Whether or not you think she's the right woman, a woman for the White House is a big deal. And when we come back from traffic, here's my next question. Who's going to show up more to vote, angry white men or women who support Hillary? What's a larger block of people who are passionate enough to show up for the vote? We know there's a lot of women that don't support Hillary. We don't know where the Bernie Sanders voters are going to go, but we think we know. But who are there more of, and who are there more of that actually show up in November? Angry white men or women who support Hillary? Yeah, that's what it's come down to.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You've tried to calm Democrats' fears that there isn't going to be another shoe dropping. What basis did you tell this radio station, 1070 Radio, on Friday, that there is absolutely no possibility of an indictment? Has anybody from the DOJ talked to you or your representatives?
I will repeat what I said. That is not going to happen. There is no basis for it. And I'm looking forward to this being wrapped up as soon as possible.
Has anybody from the FBI talked to you or your representatives?
Oh, I know that they've been interviewing a number of people, and I've told people to cooperate, and I'm looking forward to also participating. I've offered to do so since last August.
No, you're not. You're not looking forward to participating in an FBI plumbing exhibit. Asking you questions.
You know, I used to do that for a living. I've never heard anybody call investigation participating. We're going to participate in it.
Nobody's getting a ribbon. Nobody's going to Dairy Queen afterwards.
I'm not going to talk to him, but I'll participate.
We enjoyed our participation in the FBI Citizens Academy.
That was different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We weren't the ones being grilled.
Right. We were the grillies.
All right. So both of you, who shows up more? White women? White women. I'm sorry, angry white men supporting Trump or women supporting Hillary?
Well, it's a trick question. But
is it?
But let me make it more complicated.
Okay.
Just as a demographic issue. So 1980, the portion of the electorate that was white Americans uh-huh. in 1980 was 89%
okay.
of the total makeup. This election, it will probably be 70%, almost a 20% yeah. drop. So the fact is the angry white men are a dying species. No offense, Pat.
What are you? Maybe Irish guys. Yeah, we're way dead. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, every demographic group that participates in presidential elections is growing, except for non-college white men, which continues to decline.
And so, that was the whole reason for the RNC autopsy 4 years ago, to explain to people that we can't win the same way we won in 1980.
When Reince Priebus stood up after 2012 and said, these are mistakes we've made, these are mistakes we have to address, he was right about every single one of them. And none of them have changed.
Well, they would have had we not had this guy we have now.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm not blaming Priebus.
Yeah, no, it's totally. And the candidates, the ones besides him that ran, actually recognized that. But this guy doesn't, so we take four steps backwards. And I'm not kidding. I've been a Republican my whole life. This could blow the whole party up. And I just hope it gets marginalized enough that it doesn't hurt guys like Senator Kirk.
But it still comes down to who shows up on Election Day.
But Eric said
it came down to who showed up in the primary. But who's going to be more motivated to go out? Because if women are going to elect Hillary, and this is not being trite. This is just talking about math here. Are there going to be enough of them to counteract this effect that we've seen of all these angry white men who are going, I'm not getting mine, and people are taking mine, and we're not safe, and where's my raise, and everything else that Trump has brought up?
I don't think there are enough anymore to do it.
And the other fact is, and they've done an analysis, this notion that he brought new people.
Yeah, that's a great analysis. It's
fascinating. A lot of these guys had never voted in primaries before, but they're all general election voters. So he's not expanding the electorate as much as maybe energizing them to participate in primaries.
It's only 6% increase over what – these are just Republicans that actually – people don't vote in primaries. Typically.
Right.
And these are just Republicans that actually came out to vote. They're not Democrats that came over to vote.
Right. And they're people who typically would vote in a general anyway.
So, right. Exactly.
Had not voted in a primary. Look, not taking it for granted. You're right. Turnout does matter. It's incredibly true. The math is very difficult for any Republican given the demographic changes in this country.
Where does she start delegate wise? I mean,
I'm not a count expert, but you know, I think it's somewhere in the low 200s. In the worst case scenario, in the 180s, 190s, needing 270 with a bunch of toss ups, and you know, it pretty much comes down to 10 states or so. I don't buy the argument that he's able to compete in New York and California and even Michigan.
He got more votes in Illinois in the primary than he did in New York.
That's right. So look, it's a
do you
major.
Want to have Steve join our show?
It's amazing. It's a major math problem for any Republican. For Trump, it is a real, real uphill battle.
He's going to try to do the Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the northern Rust Belt state thing.
That's right.
It's
an inside straight to win. And, you know, you like those odds if you're on the other side. But like you said, the other part that we're not really talking about, and it's a little bit boring, but, you know, hand-to-hand combat is kind of the way these campaigns have come down because it's small states. And he has no ability to run a real campaign. And we've seen the Hillary campaign. He's been pretty tactically brilliant in yanking this thing back away from Bernie and closing it out. They've got infrastructure. They've got money. They've got experience on how to go get these votes in these states. Trump has none of that.
What's the over-under on the first Clinton scandal investigation after she wins? It took like a week.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Republicans have already subpoenned witnesses. They don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of the game.
They've got the blank subpoenas because it's a cottage industry with Republicans in Washington to investigate the Clintons. So a lot of these guys make their livings.
Yeah, we've been doing it for three decades.
When does Bernie?
I feel like both sides have benefited from it because the Clintons keep supplying material.
When does Bernie bail and when does Obama start campaigning?
You know, I think things will calm down. I think in the weeks leading up to the convention, he'll get a primetime speaking role. He'll get some platform concessions, and then it'll be kumbaya, and you know, there'll still be hard feelings. But
what does he need to say to get a lot of really angry Bernie Sanders supporters to care enough about Hillary to come out and vote for
him?
I don't think Bernie supporters are going to vote for Trump, but I think there's a possibility they won't vote.
I think that's right. I think it's funny what happens when you're faced with a binary choice. You know, it's no longer a theoretical, I would love for my guy to be president and I love Bernie. It's sort of, look, folks, boys and girls, as you say, Steve, this is what it comes down to. It's this clown who's not funny, scary, or her. Hold your nose if that's how you feel about her, and let's move this country forward.
I do think it does come down to that argument in general. And again, like at this point, I'm actually voting for Yogi and Boo Boo. But it comes down to what's more important to you, the country or being right? In other words, if you really, really, really have felt Trump's right all along and you're going to stick in that path, good for you. If you really felt Hillary's right all along, you're going to stick there, good for you. But everybody else in the middle that's wavering one way or another, You really have to take the time now to play it forward and imagine that person sitting in that chair making those decisions and the amount of power that goes with the presidency.
That's why Senator Kirk did what he did this week and said he's not going to support Trump.
It was a very gutsy move, and it could cost him the election, but he decided he had to look himself in the mirror. So I salute Senator Kirk for doing that.
You know, the other thing that the notion that Obama likes to quote that quote about history, you know, or justice bends towards history.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I think that Trump's going to regret ever doing this by the end of this thing. I think he's going to be such a pariah. I think it's going to hurt his business. It already has.
Yeah, they already yanked his golf tournament, right?
I think the one thing the guy hates, he loves attention, he hates ridicule. And, you know.
Remember the correspondents' dinner a couple years ago?
And
he sat there. I don't know if you remember watching it, and they went after him, and he did not look good.
And I think that's some of the reasons why he's running. It's sort of, I'm going to show all these people. And he can't handle ridicule. I think he's fundamentally insecure. And I wonder if at the end of this, he's going to regret ever doing it.
Well, the only thing's holding him in right now is Hillary's so bad as a candidate.
She's a
terrible candidate.
The cost economically of this to Trump has been significant. But going forward, you got to remember, we live in a universe where the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are millionaires. There will be an audience for Trump going forward. It will be a pop culture audience, which is where he should live.
Sure.
But he won't have a national voice the way he had before. And, you know, if you're thinking he loses in 16, he runs in 20. No.
Right. No, I'm just saying as a figure of ridicule and sort of the Aaron Burr way that,
yeah, I suppose.
You know, he sort of lived out his days as kind of this pariah in America in this Hamilton frenzy. Maybe
back in the old days, somebody would slap somebody with a white glove and they'd settle it with muskets. Ah, remember the good old days?
That's right. But Trump's for peace, not fighting. So.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yes, yes. And that's why I'm behind
Except
him.
Except when he said he was going to bomb. Wouldn't he say he was going to turn into a parking lot or something a couple weeks ago?
He was going to bomb the S out of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was it.
The silliness?
And again, my dream remains. I want Donald Trump in one chair and Mike Madigan in the other. Just please join me on the show. You're welcome here anytime.
Again, the showcase interview would implode.
I'll ban everybody from the room. By the way, Andrea won't come in that day.
I've called in sick.
We'll get Trump come at the convention. He'll come to the show.
I want Trump and Madigan separately or together on the show.
No, I should be here.
By the way, that same guy? I've never seen him together.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what that should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Coming up on 8:15, we'll get to traffic in just a second. Bizarre Richard Simmons news. I know bizarre Richard Simmons news all might sound a tad redundant.
All words that have been in sentences before.
Ed Sheeran in the news. He hasn't had a new album out, but he's got a new plagiarism suit. The big CMT Awards were last night. The Ali services are coming up this week. What is that? Tomorrow, I guess. And when will Hamilton tickets go on sale?
This is the big news.
Dean has that information. He has Hamilton tickets. You should call him at home. That's probably not helpful, is it?
I've got my number forwarded to your house, so that's fine with me.
Yeah, it's never a good idea when you try to prank your buddy with a cell phone joke and he just forwards the calls to you.
Right.
Not great. Not a good move on my part. So all of those are coming up, but how are you?
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm excited about all this Hamilton news.
Yes. In Hamilton, the actor's name again is Manuel.
Well, the actor who is in New York, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
The composer, the author.
The originator. But he's not going to. He'll be here, I'm sure, for opening night because this is the first city where Hamilton will play outside of New York. Mm-hmm. There'll be.
But he's not the star actors. In the run here.
But he will not be the one who is starring in the run here in Chicago when it opens September 27th.
No. You know, James Corden from The Late Late Show stole our karaoke bit and is making hay with it on CBS, and it's his big signature bit now. And he had Lin-Manuel Miranda, Frusenglosch, and Farfik Nukin doing karaoke with him the other night.
He had Lin-Manuel in the car. He had Audra McDonald, who is the record holder for the most Tony Award wins of all time. She was in the back seat with Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, mm-hmm. who is on Broadway in a musical right now, and Jane Krakowski, who's also on Broadway right now. So he had this whole, this Broadway.
It was a Tony Awards throwdown.
Yeah, big time.
And a Tony Awards carpool.
They sang a song from Rent. They sang a song from Jersey Boys, from Les Mis, and also Hamilton. It's one of their best carpool karaoke's, but still not comparing to anything that where all of this originated.
Yeah, here.
Right here.
We're the first people to sing in cars.
That's right. Right. No, it's never been done before.
Never been done before. This. Never been done before. You know, it's a really good bit, and it is funny to see very recognizable celebrity faces who look like the jackass you look like when you sing in your car.
Who doesn't love a good jackass?
But I'm telling you, right, we all look that way when we're singing at the top of our lungs.
It's very true.
That's funny.
That's very true.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name.
I was talking to Dean John DeCosse the other day, and I told him that I've forgotten what the original song sounds like, you know, for some of these John DeCosse covers that he's done.
Because they have so become part of Americana now.
Yeah, they get embedded in my little brain, and then I go, what is that? I don't remember the original. So, and that's a good example, that
Who
one right
needs
there.
The originals?
That's exactly right. When you can take that idea and run with it. All right, so Hamilton tickets. First off, when will the Hamilton run be?
The Hamilton will open on September the 27th. The first block of tickets that are going to be sold will be September 27th through March 19th.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not available any of those days.
This show, a good thing, because that this show is expected to run for a couple of years in Chicago.
Okay.
Because of its popularity right now. So that's just the first block, and tickets are going to go on sale Tuesday, June 21st.
For $1 million a piece?
Surprisingly not. Tickets actually are kind of reasonably priced. You know, for regular tickets, they're going to be anywhere from $65 to just over $100.
Well, that's good.
You know, which is...
And what theater?
It's not bad. It's the Private Bank Theater. This is the theater that changes its name like every 2 weeks, depending on what bank is...
The banking business,
you know,
yeah.
Is sponsoring it.
Well, so what did it used to be called?
It used to be called the Bank of America Theater. It used to be called the LaSalle Bank Theater. I think many of us remember it as the Schubert Theater.
The Schubert, there you
so
go.
It's the one that's at 18 West Monroe Street. So, yeah, tickets, they're going to be a maximum of 6 tickets per household allowed. They'll range $65 to $180. But during the holiday season... Premium seats. Now, these are like the best seats in the house. Often, you know, they throw in like a pre-show party. There's like a whole big deal. Will run between $500 and $600. And that's got to be some kind of record-breaking. I haven't heard about anything that expensive. But that is super top of the line. Normal ticket range is going to be $65 to $180. Now, they are going to be holding back tickets for $10 a piece. For CPS and other students.
How good is that? That's great.
Only a certain number per show. Same thing for an online lottery that you have to, you know, check and see if you're lucky enough to get those tickets. But that's what we know right now.
Though. Any secret to the rumor he's working on a sequel called Fillmore about the life of Millard Fillmore?
That would be fantastic. I've always thought there should be... some kind of musical about our least respected president of the United States.
Well, he wasn't respected. He just was Millard. I mean, it's tough if your name's Millard.
What's he most famous for? Didn't he put the bathtub in the White House?
I think that is it, yeah. I think he was the guy to put the tub in the house.
I think if that's your claim to fame, you know, for being the chief executive.
Or was that Warren G. Harding? There was a big fat president who got stuck in a tub. Was that Warren G. Harding?
Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not making that up.
Strange presidential trivia. Let me find it out.
Let's go live to Sandberg with breaking news.
My 12-year-old stepdaughter is obsessed with Hamilton, and so she has the soundtrack on her phone, and she takes these 35-minute showers and blasts it and sings along. It's like rap music.
So she does the hip-hop thing in the shower?
In the shower for 35 That's minutes, and
hilarious.
You hear it like...
Through the door.
Room. Yeah.
We have a little bit, you know, just so people can start to get familiar with this, because I'm telling you what, this show is going to take over Chicago when it opens here for a while. This is a little taste of Hamilton. It's a quiet
show. Seems very, very quiet. We don't have it? We don't have it.
We don't have that.
We don't have it. It's too bad because it was a great setup.
What the heck?
Anyway, yeah. It's good. It's like...
Is what the heck one of the lead numbers?
It's one of... What the heck?
You got to say it more rappy, Dean.
What the heck?
There you go.
Yeah, and have you thought about taping her through the door?
Oh, you know what? I should do that because she's singing too, so you can hear. We hear it
looks like a very cool show. And I don't know how he got the show made, because if you go to backers and go, fellas, here's what I need $10 million
exactly,
for.
Exactly, right.
I want to put up a show where I have a bunch of people doing hip-hop about the life of Alexander Hamilton. Who's writing that check? Who had the vision to see how good that could be?
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliantly performed. The songs, it's a smart show. It's thoughtful. It's won a Peabody Award. It's won a Grammy Award. It's going to win the bulk of the awards this coming Sunday night at the Tony Awards. So, just like Mary, everybody get used to this, because this is a show that's going to be around for a while. We've got all the details online, by the way, WGNTV.com, if you want to see these specifics, the dates, and, all that stuff. The tickets are going to be available at the Private Bank Theater box office through their ticket line. Also at BroadwayInChicago.com, and you really have to be careful buying Hamilton tickets. Already, counterfeit tickets are flying everywhere, so I would strongly recommend buying them only through the Broadway in Chicago sources. That way you know they're real, and you won't get up to the box office and someone's going to go, sorry, you have a fake.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing. By the way, I don't know why Dean didn't ask for it, but we have a clip. Roll it.
I'm past patiently waiting. I'm passionately smashing every expectation. Every action's an act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of casualties of sorrow. The first time I'm thinking past tomorrow.
When I am not going away, my shot.
Hottest show on Broadway for over a year, and coming to Chicago, as Dean said. All right,
it's coming up. Road.
Oh my God!
Richard Simmons, what is this story?
The National Enquirer is a cover story right now, claiming that Richard Simmons is transitioning to a woman. Richard Simmons' representatives are saying that, quote, "This is absolute madness and not true." The Inquirer says that he has received breast implants and hormone treatments over the last 2 years.
Who hasn't?
Simmons' spokesperson says that is untrue, that he had knee surgery and has just been keeping a low profile. He is just trying to have a little privacy in his life right now. He had a health scare last weekend.
Why can't we leave people alone?
Why can't I just leave the guy alone?
Leave the guy alone, whatever he's doing.
And by the way, I mean, if he is transitioning, which he says that's not true, somebody snapped a picture of him the other day with a big full beard. So unless he's transitioning into the bearded lady at the circus.
I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that's the hook.
Maybe.
By the way, I saw a picture of the back of my head from behind. Apparently, I'm transitioning into an old guy.
No.
So, yeah, it looks like it.
I hate seeing that angle. Yeah. You're talking about from the webcam?
No, what happened was Sandberg, the former producer of the show, was sitting in the back seat of the car when DeCoste and I were in the front. She took a picture of the two of us and captioned it, "My Two Dads."
That's nice.
Yeah, sweet, I thought.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the webcam that we have at WGNRadio.com, really flattering angles of whoever's doing the show. Do we have time for this Ed Sheeran story?
Yes,
I think
go.
That this is fascinating. His song, Photograph, can we play just a little bit of the original Ed Sheeran's Photograph?
I know.
So this has become the subject of a $20 million plagiarism suit now. A couple of songwriters are saying that...
suing the people from Hamilton?
They're suing a completely different story. A couple of songwriters say that they wrote a song 5 years earlier that was recorded by the 2010 X Factor winner Mac Cardle.
Okay.
And this is the original version of the song.
Here's if you see me, the photograph
coming up roses.
Me. Take the film to Walgreens, get it developed, pick it up in a couple of hours. Oh, hours.
Wow. Let's download that.
I can see why this is the number one talk show in Chicago.
How did you find me? Came out of nowhere like
wow.
So I'm not a lawyer, but
that's the same song.
It's very similar.
Although I do like your version a little better.
Wow, that is, that's
kind of
a problem,
the same
Ed.
Key too. Wow.
Yeah, that's a problem there, Eddie. That's a big problem. CMT winners last night. You can see that online. Ali is services are tomorrow. We can talk about that.
Yeah, they're going to put Ali, the Will Smith movie, back in theaters this weekend.
And last thing, Dean, I owe an apology to the people who I said weren't doing anything in front of the Showcase studio. The scaffolding that has been up, and we don't see any action around the scaffolding, with the wood plank on top where we thought the workmen would be,
right?
That is specifically designed to catch falling rock from the facade of the building as they clean and service the building.
So that would explain it.
Wow. Here's another explanation.
I apologize.
By the way, you were both wrong. The president who got stuck in the bathtub, allegedly, Taft.
Oh, it was Taft.
I like how Andrea says allegedly, like Taft's well, estate is going to sue us.
Well, there's this whole controversy. Did he really
get stuck?
Oh, they
just got him out. Did you hear?
Did he not?
See you later.
Ryan Dempster.
To Freeman. Oh, he caught it right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
Wintrust Community Bank's Hour continues, 8:42, and our friend Ryan Dempster joins us. MLB legend Ryan Dempster. I gave you homework last week. Do you remember what the homework was?
No, I completely forgot.
The homework, does it remind you when you were in school and somebody gave you homework and you completely forgot then, too?
Yeah, and then they'd usually remind me, and I'd try and fill it out real quick before I gave it handed in.
The question was, because it was a White Sox pitcher who had doubled – advanced to third.
Yeah, Matt Albers.
And eventually scored. Who's the slowest runner you ever played with?
Sean Casey.
You want to think about it?
I mean, the guy got thrown out from a left fielder before. I don't know if you ever remember that one. He had a line drive, actually, at U.S. Cellular. And Pablo Ozuna threw him out from left field. He thought the third baseman caught it, kind of stopped for a second, and he tried to beat it out and got thrown at first base.
And I want people to understand, you got to wrap your head around this, people. Not right field. He was thrown out from left field.
It was probably like the nicest guy in the world, too, and I never seen him so mad. You would have thought somebody kidnapped one of his kids. It's unbelievable how frustrated he was.
You guys probably didn't give him a hard time at all after, did you?
No, we never get kids. Still to this day, if we're going anywhere, we always will say, you know, hey, don't worry, kids. We'll be ready in case you're a little bit late getting there.
All right, so big baseball news continues to be the Chicago Cubs. They leaded 5 all-star positions, which is nice, but what's even nicer is at this rate, we may be talking magic number by the all-star break. There's just nothing that appears to be able to dent the armor of these guys, including the wacky clothes manager Joe Maddon has them wear on road trips.
Yeah, you know what? Things are looking really good right now, and I like Len Casper had something kind of interesting to say a couple days ago, and he was talking about it, and because people say, oh well, how? I mean, look at the starting rotation, and like eventually things like this aren't going to continue, and you can't keep this up for a whole season, and I kind of agree about that a little bit. I think that you can't expect this to happen continuously like that. You want it to, but there are always areas for improvement. So when other things falter, if you hit a bump in the road starting pitcher-wise or you're offensively struggling, maybe that's the time where things that we're not necessarily doing as good as we could be doing, whether that's, hitting with runners in scoring position or fielding the ball or a guy in the bullpen who might be struggling, hey, you know what, that was his time to struggle, now all of a sudden he's dominating. So I think there's so much balance on this team between starting pitching and bullpen and offense and defense that you're going to just kind of see this continuous give and take. If a guy's struggling, somebody else is going to pick him up, and I don't see any reason why this can't continue. These guys are doing great, and they feel it. Now they know they can beat anybody, any night, any pitcher, any time. It's a lot of fun.
You know what you also like to see? I like to see it when Joe Maddon takes John Lester out after he's dominated the game. He's thrown 95 pitches. Could have finished, but they're looking bigger picture here. And he'd thrown, 113 in his last start?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can sit there and meet it with a little bit of resistance at first. And John, I'm sure, wanted to finish. But at the same time, he understands, listen, the game's changed. The days of the Nolan Ryan 250-pitch outings or the Steve Carlton 200-pitch outings are over. Guys throw 100 pitches. That's what they throw now. Every once in a while, a guy will go a little bit above it or a little bit below it, but that's kind of the mark. And I think, you know, you got to sit there and say, what's the best interest of this ball club? Is John Lester getting a shutout, or is it, you know, him throwing 15 less stressful pitches right now and saving those stressful pitches for a high-leverage situation come towards the end of the season or the playoffs? And I think that just kind of speaks volumes about what these guys have in store ahead of them and what they're planning for. It's not to sit there and get to the playoffs, it's to get to the World Series and try and win the whole thing. And there's a bigger picture than just a shutout on July or June 6th in Philadelphia.
Debs, it's so much fun watching these guys rib poor David Ross. I don't know if you saw the new did you see the new Twitter where he's urging people to vote for the All-Star game, hashtag vote Cubs, but he's on a rotary phone, and then they got him a motorized scooter. You know, the poor guy. It is kind of fun to watch how they rib him, though.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's both ways. He enjoys it. He's loving how the guys are obviously treating him, the things they're doing for him. And so when they poke fun at him and have a good time, he takes it so well. He's a true professional razzer and make funner guy himself. So when he gets done to him, he doesn't even hesitate. And it's interesting, too, because that's actually David Ross's real cell phone that he's using in that ad. So.
Oh, yeah. The rotary.
Nice.
So you were sort of thrust into that role, certainly against your will. Debs had to be the chief needler, vice president of needling in the clubhouse. Have you got like a top two or three go-to moves for clubhouse ribbing?
It's a sensitive subject, right? When you have that many guys, listen, I know we play professional baseball, we're playing a sport, but people are still people, they have personalities, and you can't just jump on anybody at any time, but you have to make it known that everybody in that locker room is fair game. I don't care what you're making, I don't care how many years you have in the league, if we're going to all have a clubhouse that we spend this much time together, it's not your typical office setting. We do joke around a lot with each other, and I think there's always the microphone on the bus. To me, it was always the fun one.
So the microphone on the bus, you would go up front and you would become the PA bus announcer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What happens is Colorado is always the best because anybody's ever flown in the Denver International Airport, it seems like it's in a different state.
Yep.
When you land and drive downtown, and that was always a good one. You started out really nice. You know, you give them the tour guide. I'm going to show you a little bit. And then you just start making digs at whoever wants to pipe off. And I remember some really, really good ones. That's a fair game one because guys are a little bit, you know, they've enjoyed some spirits on the plane, so they're a little bit looser and they're a little bit more willing to let you have a little fun with them.
And what about old school stuff like the hot foot? Is that for hacks only? I mean, not for professionals like you?
Yeah, well, for sure. That's not an amateur hour. You got to be ready to do that. That takes some. You're gonna have to get down and get dirty because you're gonna have to get on your hands and knees. Elbows, you're going to army crawl it, you know, sit there like you're going under the barbed wire to get through and light a hot foot. I did a couple of those in my day. Ones I loved on the road were the, you know, things like in the hotel, the leaner on the door. You get a garbage can, fill it up with water, lean it against the door, and then knock on the door and walk away. Well, you still can't see it through the peephole. Somebody opens the door, and poof, it's like the floodgates open, and you just let it lean into their door.
Yeah, I understand what he's talking about. He leans a garbage can full of water against the door, so you yank the door open and you flood your room. You know, the hotel called and said, could you bring the Rolling Stones in? They're less trouble.
Or Guns N' Roses, maybe.
Dave, say hi to Debs again.
So, Debs, tonight is the draft, and unlike the NFL draft and the NBA draft where the people watching have seen these guys play and they're familiar with them and they follow the buildup. You got a bunch of guys who are going to be drafted tonight who most people watching on MLB Network have never seen in a baseball game. What advice do you have for people who want to follow the draft and kind of want to know what to make of all that's happening tonight?
Yeah, well, I think baseball has done an incredible job of really kind of trying to make the baseball draft a little bit more like those ones. And it's hard because in the NFL and NBA, you have college guys who we've been watching on NBC or CBS and bowl games, and we've seen all these guys play. A lot of these kids are high school kids. Even college baseball isn't televised like the other sports are. So, you know, you really do get a chance in this little moment to get on MLB Network and watch these kids, and you'll see them. And the thing is, you're going to see these kids in the big leagues, a lot of them, and be successful stars. They're going to be trademark names, and I think it's getting more and more exciting. The MLB draft used to be extremely boring and just, it's a crapshoot, and I think with the way scouting is nowadays and these advanced metrics and these things, the probability of these guys making it are a lot greater, and I see it. You know, everybody says, "Oh, I remember when I was a rookie," and you get drafted, and then you're sitting there wondering if you're ever going to make the big leagues. These kids on TV that are going to go up there and get called to the podium, they've been playing in Major League Baseball stadiums now at these area code games and showcase games, and they have no fear, and they're almost big league ready the moment they get drafted. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and unfortunately, we don't pick to like the 109th pick, but those are the side effects of having the best record in baseball and signing a few free agents.
There's no good news really about the White Sox other than the fact that outfielder JB Shuck hit 91 on the gun last night. So, he may be their new go-to guy. But last question, James Big Game Shields. It's his first night at work for the White Sox. He's not a kid. He's been in the spotlight before. What happened?
Man, I don't know. Sometimes you're trying to do a lot to impress your new team. You're trying to make perfect pitches. He's been pitching better than that this year. But he just had one of those nights too. Where ground balls found their way in, and then fly balls found their way over the fence. So he'll bounce back. I look at it as a really good pickup for them. I think that they had some really good three good starting pitchers. I think that Latos was pitching a little bit above his bar the beginning of the year, and obviously they needed another guy. So I think all in all, at the end of the day, it was just one of those ones. I remember when I got traded to Texas. I got down there in 2012 in my first outing. I went out there and stuck up the joint, and then after that, you settle in. Even though you've been there, you've pitched in all these situations, there's still a butterflies and an expectation of trying to, live up to what they traded for, and just get it. Now he's just got to get back to doing what he's doing and going out there and execute pitches.
Ryan Dempster, he is our Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox MLB expert, and also an expert on pranking your friends. Don't forget about the tilting garbage can full of water. Have a great week, dude. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. You too.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I had this guy leave me a voicemail at work, so I called him at home. And then he emailed me to my BlackBerry, and so I texted to his cell, and then he emailed me to my home account, and the whole thing just got out of control. And I miss the days where you had one phone number and one answering machine, and that one answering machine housed one cassette tape, and that one cassette tape either had a message from the guy or it didn't. And now you just have to go around checking all these different portals just to get rejected by seven different technologies. It's exhausting.
I just haven't met you yet.
It's funny. It's funny. What's the movie? It's funny. Is that 50 First Dates?
Oh, I'm drawing a blank.
He's just not that into you?
Yeah. He's just not that into you? Is that
what that's right.
Yeah. Not that I watch it every day.
What
right.
Is it?
Maybe
He's
I
just
do.
Not that into you? Is that what it is? Bellagatti's here, and the Smart Dating Academy is one we recommend all the time, because not only will it take the social media sites you use for dating, it'll tell you how to use them better, and coach you up on dating. You are the Mike Ditka of dating without the without the endorsements.
without the beard or the mustache. So.
And she won't yell at you about your prostate.
Right, which Ditka did yesterday.
Yeah.
We got a Tinder story that has been in the news over the past couple of days, and Tinder claims to have fixed the problem. Claims. But when I see the headline, Tinder bans most teens, how does that fix the problem?
Well, I didn't even know. I mean, Bella's talked about Tinder, and it's a decent, it's an okay website. If you are into Tinder, that's fine. But I didn't realize that they had young kids, and Bella and I had an experience. We have a friend whose daughter got on Tinder, unbeknownst to her mom.
But there's a section on Tinder that was set up for kids 13 to 17.
Yes.
How could that cause a problem?
Yeah.
Right. Not at all. Not at all.
And by the way, like, Tinder didn't know that was a revenue stream for them.
Sure.
So it's ridiculous that they're acting like this caught us by surprise.
Right. Yeah. Whoa. They should have called it Tinder.
Yes,
exactly. Right.
Yeah, and really.
Now they've banned it. So 13 to 17, disallowed. You have to be 18 to be on Tinder. So
most 13 to 17.
Yeah. Well, I guess they mean 18 and 19 would still technically be teens,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Correct.
All right. But again, ban. If a 13-year-old can do math, when they get to the box that says, when were you born, as a proof of age, they're just going to do what they're going to do, right?
Well, remember, this all runs off of Facebook's API. So as of until this ban came about, let's say 2 days ago, if you were 14 years old, you had a Facebook account, you could download Tinder for 13 to 17. And from what I understand, even if you're a parent and you find out your kid's on it, there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah. And the number's really low, too. I mean, these aren't gazillions of teenagers. I think it's 3%. Of Tinder users are teenagers are between 13 and 17.
It's a big number still.
Yeah.
Think about it, at one point, the number of teens on Tinder was higher than 35 to 44 year olds.
Is that right?
Isn't that nuts? And that number goes back to 2014. So this has been happening for a while.
And we also know that Tinder is the hookup site. So, and I'm not judging you. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But if that gets out, the buzz is out there, that Tinder's a hookup site, and you're 13 to 17, you might be interested in finding out about sex. So kids are going to be curious. And any kid who's at all savvy, take them 2 seconds to come up with a fake social profile that could give them access.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, you think your kid's in the bedroom, you know, doing algebra, and instead they're right swiping, you know, other guys from the suburbs.
What happened to those rotary phones?
Study dates, quote unquote.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing, because parents, you know, it's hard. It's very hard. But parents need to listen to the basics. And you've said this a million times. If your child's behavior, I hate to equate this with drug use, but it really is the same. If your child's behavior changes, if your child is a very studious kid and suddenly they're not, if your child is someone who is needy of friends and suddenly is insisting they can go out and they're having a study thing alone at Starbucks or alone wherever, these are all signs, right?
Yeah, and you have to pay attention to that. Know what social media your kids are on, guys. Even though Tinder may be banned for teens, remember, Snapchat is the number one used app by teens by 28%. So 28% of all teens are on Snapchat, and they are meeting each other on Snapchat, on Instagram, on Facebook. So know what your kids are doing.
Right. Right. And, you know, hopefully by the time your kids are teens, you've developed a trust relationship where you can look them in the eye and remind them you're still the parent and they need to answer your questions.
Yeah, and start talking to them about dating earlier. You know, don't have that white-knuckled discussion when your 15-year-old daughter says she wants to go out on a date for the first time and you've never talked about this. Start these conversations young. Well, I've got an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, and we've, you know, since the kids were little, we're like, okay, who likes you? Who do you like?
Sure.
Who likes who in the classroom? So they feel like they can talk about this in a fun, safe environment. So foster that early.
What's the appropriate age? Not necessarily to have the talk, but, you know, I have a couple of godchildren, 5 and 6 years old.
I can explain that stuff to you.
But they're starting to say, oh, that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend. Ha ha. But, I mean, that's too young, obviously, to have the talk. But
I don't think so. I'm very serious. I think that depending on a child at 5 and 6 and 7 years old, if you have a child that's anatomically curious and is asking those questions, I think you can start to answer them. Absolutely.
Can you?
Yeah. When they ask, answer the question. If they don't ask, they're not ready for it. But answer the questions that they ask you.
But don't let them see what the father's sites are that he visits on the phone when he thinks nobody's looking.
Exactly.
Well, and you bring up a good point as parents. One of the things I tell people all the time is you, as the parents, you are nature and you're nurture. Your kids are looking at you. And they're going to look at, how does dad talk to mom? How does mom react to dad? And these, the what they soak in when they're living in your house will have a potential impact on the romantic partners that they choose.
And
so be good role models. Be on your best behavior, parents,
and
around
if,
your kids.
If you're a single parent and you happen to be on a dating website, perfectly normal, perfectly fine. But maybe explain to the kids, hey, you know, mom's going to start dating.
Mommy needs a play date too.
Something like that.
Sure, of course. One of the things you're going to learn at Smart Dating Academy is something called your like cue, not your IQ, your like cue, L-I-K-E-Q. We don't have time to hit all these cogent points, but along with being a good listener, which you always focus on, what is face neutral?
Oh, my gosh. Understand what your face looks like. Now, we've all probably seen that video called Resting Bee Face. I don't know if I can say it on air.
Yeah, Resting Bitch Face.
Oh, I won that contest. Thank you.
Yeah, Mary won.
Right, and lots and lots of people, not just women, but men suffer from this affliction. So one of the things you want to do is if you don't get a good response from people and you feel like people are like, hey, and then they go talk to somebody else, ask somebody, what do I look like? We do this video analysis for every single client at Smart Dating Academy. So we'll ask them a question, basic. Hey, so Andrea, what do you do for work? And then we videotape you. And you'll say, well, you know, I'm a radio anchor. Okay? And then we'll say, and then we'll play you the video back and say, if you saw this person, if you were walking into a singles event by yourself and you saw this woman talking with this expression, would you want to go up to her? What would you think? Most people will look at themselves in a video and say, oh my gosh, I had no idea I looked so serious. I looked so boring.
Because people are so in their own head.
They're in their own heads, and we don't think about what we're putting out there. We're looking for the friendly people, but if we look like we're going to kill somebody,
right,
because you look so serious or angry, you need to get this kind of feedback. And then we teach people the right body language to have and how to turn that on.
Sit up straight, look them in the eye, smile. You can slouch and be disinterested later after you get married.
Right.
Right. You need to have a good talking face and a good listening face, right? Because you're going to speak and you want to look pleasant. And then when you're listening to somebody, because hopefully you're not monopolizing the entire conversation, that you've got a good listening face, too. These are really important things.
Stick around because we're bringing in a little doggy here. And I actually want to incorporate you in this discussion of pets and dating.
Oh.
Learn about your like cue at Smart Dating Academy. .com.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I got a pets and dating question for Bella in a second, but before we get to that, Steve Dale's here. How are you?
Hey, I am great, and this is going to be... We're usually successful, Steve. I mean, a dog appears on your show, the dog gets adopted out. Right. That's as simple as it can be. But this morning... If this dog doesn't get adopted out, I don't know. Then maybe I stand on my head for a half hour on Michigan Avenue.
Beautiful puppy. Beautiful.
So sweet.
It is a puppy. This puppy's name is Charlie. And Gloria Listener from Famous Fido Adoption Center is here. Gloria is a legend in animal welfare in Chicago. Before, a lot of us were saying, you know what, we're killing too many animals.
Right.
Gloria's been saying it doesn't need to be this way. And she has been walking the walk for how many years, Gloria?
40.
40 years. Right, tell us about Charlie. Where'd Charlie come from?
Well, Charlie is amazing. He's a beautiful little puppy. He's 4 months old. Uh-huh. I got a call one day. A lady had bought him from a flea market.
A flea market?
A flea market, yeah. And she did not know anything about dogs, and she was very confused and clueless about puppies especially. So they were yelling at him in the background on the phone.
Sure.
And she wanted to give him up to a shelter. So I said I would take him and bring him in.
I can't understand why. Charlie's not friendly at all.
Oh, he's a special boy. He's loving and sweet and affectionate, and he's a puppy. You know,
How could you go wrong?
He's in positive reinforcement training right now. He's
but you do get, I think one of the attractions of a puppy is you get an opportunity to mold the puppy to your family.
You do. Right. And this dog is going to be fine. I mean, yes, a really bad start. This never should happen to any dog. But that's the great thing about dogs, I think, Gloria. They come back just fine.
And can we say you don't sell a dog at a flea market?
Can we say we don't sell a dog at all?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but it's going to go on in places, right? But a flea market?
It should be against the law.
The couch, the laundry basket,
and the dog. And it's the dog. Terrible. Yeah, you're right, Steve.
Come on.
So this dog is sandy colored. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. About how 16 pounds, I'm guessing?
I'd say, probably about 12 to 16 pounds. He looks like a little alien. He's got a small little head.
No, he's cute, though. He's very cute.
His little perky ears that hang in front of his face. He's very friendly and loving. He wants to play all the time.
Now, mixed breed, right?
Oh, he's a mixed breed.
Yeah, so a good mutt, and we have any idea how big this mutt's going to get?
There might be some Labrador in there, but this is not going to be a big dog. No. It's not going to be lab-sized.
Can you look
dog.
At paws and tell or not?
Yeah.
A little bit.
He's got
but
small paws.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it gives you some general
idea. Because his paws remind me of Trump's hands. I don't know what that is.
They are not that small.
Okay, good, good, good. But a beautiful dog. And if you look at WGNRadio.com on the watch button, you'd be able to see Charlie over the next few minutes. So, Steve, what do we do to adopt?
You go to
FamousFidoRescue.org and fill out an application for Charlie, and we set up a meet and greet so you can meet him. And he would love to be in somebody's home this summer and go for long walks and have a lot of attention.
And what I'd really like to talk to you about is this adoption center that is newly opened, which is incredible.
Sure. Hold on for that. We'll do that in the next segment. Bella, stick around. I want to talk about dating and your dog or your cat.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve Dale's here. We adopt a doggy. Charlie needs a home. And let's remind everybody again how to do that, Steve.
You go to Famous Fido Adoption Center, which is brand new. And Gloria, listener who's been involved with animal adoption for a little over a couple of years in Chicago. Tell us about this facility. It's amazing.
Well, Charlie's living at the facility right now, and it's at 3124 West Irving Park.
Which is Irving and around Kedzie?
Yep, Irving and Kedzie. It's about a 9,000 square foot space. We have about 64 animals there, 30-something dogs and 30-something cats. And it's a wellness center for animals to come from the shelter and get well. We also do rehoming and counseling so people don't bring their animals to shelters. And we're doing a lot of interventions. So people, some people want to give their dogs up and surrender their dogs or cats. So we try to help them so they don't give away their dogs or the cats. Some of them have financial
problems.
Figure
out a way to keep them in their home. And that
yeah, keep them in their home and not go to a shelter.
And thank you for the work you're doing, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
Charlie is a fabulous-looking puppy. And Charlie needs a new home, and it could be yours. What do people do, Steve?
Well, go ahead, Gloria.
You would go to FamousFidoRescue.org and fill out an application for Charlie, and we will call you and set up a meet and greet so you can meet this wonderful dog.
Who's about how old again?
I'd say he's about 4 months old. And
so it's just a puppy.
He's a puppy.
With a bad start.
With a bad start.
Not his fault.
Not his fault.
And Charlie now, I mean, all Charlie needs is some basic dog training. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
This is
and he
simple.
Loves to play with other dogs.
Oh, good.
Total chick magnet.
Yeah, Charlie.
No
what's
doubt.
Up?
No doubt.
Chick magnet?
Total chick magnet.
Yeah,
dog.
Take Charlie to the park. You're going to do just fine.
You're going to do just fine. You're going to be single for 5 minutes.
If Charlie in the park.
If you build it, they will come.
Absolutely. Yeah,
matchcharlie.com. Again, go to WGNRadio.com, click on the watch button, and go from there. All right, before we run out of time,
yeah.
Dating and pets.
Ah.
All right, so let's talk about this. If you are someone with a dog or a cat, this is not dissimilar to having a child. When do you tell people you have the dog or the cat? Are you honest right away?
Yeah, most sites will say, do you have pets or do you like pets? So maybe I like horses, but I don't have one. I have two dogs and one cat. I mean, there are websites dedicated to singles that love their pets. Date My Pet. Meaning, if you want to date me, you're going to date my pet,
well,
too.
Sure. Right. I understand that.
Date My Pet is a legitimate site.
It's, yeah. Here it is.
Date My
date
Pet.
My pet. Love. I'm showing the screen to everybody in the studio.
And it's good to find out first because of, you know, allergies, whatever might be. It's good to find out right away.
Oh, and that's what makes the girl attractive.
That's right. Having the allergies.
The allergies?
Having
the
no.
Allergies.
It's having, if the girl.
If she loves a cat or a dog.
Yes, yes. Or if she sneezes on you, sure. By the way, a fan. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying there is some responsibility involved that shows you're a responsible person if you're taking care of a dog or a cat.
You're nurturing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like the story you told us off the air that we can't tell about the cat.
Oh, but then the thing is, if things don't work out with that girl, or I suppose that guy, at least you've had fun with a dog or a cat for a while.
Right? Why not? Right?
That's my perspective.
And your pet
yeah.
could have a pal.
Yeah.
Right?
A pet date.
So even after you split up, you get like pet visitation?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, when you walk a dog, have you seen people just flock to you?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I know
it's
that.
An icebreaker.
You
too.
Know
it's
that. It's an icebreaker.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You
so
say
if,
that tongue-in-cheek, but that is a
it's
thing,
true.
Isn't
Big
it,
deal.
Bella, with visitation? You know, if there's a breakup, I mean, I actually know friends
yeah.
who have broken up but still
share
want to
custody.
See the dog. Yeah, exactly.
They share custody of pets.
Of the pets.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
that's actually true. And I know a lawyer who actually works and gets paid to arrange this.
Yeah.
That's true.
And even people that weren't married and they buy a dog together, they'll share custody of the dog.
Yeah.
Or the cat.
Yeah.
Charlie, it's not going to happen to you, man. No, Charlie, it's going to be just fine. Charlie, we're going to get you a place, Charlie, and you're going to be able to stay there, and it's going to be great. And Charlie, people would talk to you like this because that's what people
Charlie's
do.
Charlie's so cute.
Charlie would talk. Yeah. Charlie, you know how people talk to you.
Oh, my
Got to adopt out Charlie. Charlie, we need to find,
dog's
we need
just
to find
four
a home.
Legs and love, man.
Yeah.
He's just all cuddly, doesn't make a noise, just kisses you. He's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, absolutely.
By the way, Bella was talking about Dave.
Well, it's true of both of us.
Yes. Clearly.
I'm surrounded by all this love. I love it.
All right, Steve, last point from you.
Can I make two real fast?
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, one I'm honored by. I post all of this on Facebook when I'm here.
Yeah.
And a fan of these pet adoptions segments, who's listening now, Spike Odell.
Oh, good. Good.
That's really nice. Yeah. Lyme disease. People don't think of Lyme disease or ticks of being a problem in the city. It really is a problem. And there's a national campaign that I've begun working with the Global Lyme Alliance and the American Veterinary Medical Association, bringing together physicians from the human side with veterinarians from the animal side,
right,
saying, you know what? If a dog is diagnosed with a tick disease, Lyme specifically, but any of the tick diseases, somebody was on the other end of that leash and potentially exposed. We created a website called StopLyme.com.
So just because you don't have a forest in the city that is heavy with ticks, it doesn't mean you can't spread Lyme disease.
Absolutely true. People don't spread it to other people, but there are ticks out there, and we don't think about that.
Sure.
We don't know about that necessarily. Now people know about it. So even you're right, in our concrete jungle, there are ticks. And where there are ticks, there is tick disease.
When are you on the radio again?
Sunday morning, 6:30, we meet the new executive director of Animal Care and Control for the city of Chicago. Susan Russell will be on WGN. In the meantime, please consider adopting out Charlie.
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, we cannot say sorry, Charlie, right?
At
the end of the segment.
No. Charlie, good news waiting for you. And again, thank you for what you're doing at Famous Fido Rescue.
Thank you so much for having us. And visit us at the center at 3124 West Irving Parks.
Famous Fido Rescue.
And what's the
org, right?
Yeah, is that the
famousfidorescue.org to see or adopt Charlie. And our phone number is 773-907-0305.
And a big picture of Charlie with information about Charlie on my blog, and that's stevedale.tv.
One more job for you, Bella, before we wrap up. Kevin Powell, who used to produce this show, is being thrown out for date meet on the Rokan program. We'd like you to talk to Kevin to make sure he's not running away from, you know, the state at some point to get off the dating bit. So stick around for a second. SmartDatingAcademy.com and .org and .net and .this and .that, wherever you... Just Google Smart Dating Academy. You'll find it.
Oh, yeah. He's smooth like butter.
I've got Skittles in my mouth. Want to taste the rainbow?
Kevin Powell.
If you were a potato, you'd be a sweet one.
The lover man. He knows how to get the ladies.
Is your name Campbell's? Because you look good.
Kevin Powell.
Did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
The lover man.
It's just not the saddest thing I've ever heard. The saddest clip I've ever heard. Oh, man. I knew when he left this show there'd be trouble. 3 years. Did I ever pimp him out?
Do you remember the Kevin we used to know?
It's unbelievable.
He was such a humble guy.
Well, in defense of Kevin,
sweet.
I think he is being put up against his will. Let me go to the...
Pimped out?
Let me go to the poll and find out for real. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. You guys don't like those pickup lines?
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
God.
It's just sad. We have Bella Gandhi here to try to fix your problems.
Hi, Kevin.
But Bella, what do you think of those pickup lines? Would you recommend those to... gentlemen,
I wouldn't recommend that you use them on Charlie the dog that just left here.
Or on anybody, even if they were deaf, probably not.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, so this Roe thing, where Roe is finding new women for you every week, how's this working out for you?
Well, it's three or four rounds, I think, they have planned. We did round two yesterday. Mm-hmm. Colleen beat Amy. Big win for Colleen. She moves on to the next round.
Big win for Colleen.
Colleen scores.
Colleen advances in the Kevin Paul dating game tournament. And then we'll pick it back up next Tuesday. And then I think there'll be three finalists, and then we'll have the final round. They'll decide the winner, and then I will go on a date with the winner.
And who's paying for the date?
Well, it's at Little Bucharest, Violetta's parents' restaurant. So,
by the way, I got to congratulate Violetta Podrabetic Zippity Doo Dah Day on how she has milked all this publicity for her her family's restaurant out of Roe Con. Does Roe understand what this is? This is Violetta taking Roe to the cleaners.
Yeah, she's a businesswoman. She knows how to get it done. She also recommended doing a food drop for you guys, so maybe we can get another.
I'll bet she did. I bet she did recommend that. Well, listen, I'm glad everything's working out so well for you, but is any of this actually going to turn into something for you?
Likely not.
Okay. So this is just just an extended bit where Kevin's going to disappoint another woman.
Well, heartbreaker. We'll see. We never know. I could find my lifelong partner here. We'll see.
But you're seeing these people, so you know what they look like.
Well, not really. I stay up in the sports studio, which is on the 7th floor. The two ladies that come in are in the studio. You guys are sitting right now on the first floor.
So
they get grilled with questions from people on the show. I was able to ask questions yesterday for the first time, and then they asked me some questions. So I never actually meet them until
I like how the first round didn't include Kevin.
Yeah, I like that too. I was able to ask questions yesterday.
I was like, can I ask a question? I mean,
the contest is real running.
Right.
Chicago sets up Kevin Powell.
Yeah. So it's a Rokon with Anna every afternoon and Kevin being abused. All right. So in this case, would you recommend blind dating for Kevin? Because this is essentially what it is. It's blind dating.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know, right? Just bring the best Kevin to the date, Kevin.
And Roe is like a North Shore Jewish mother. So,
it's a yenta.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a booby.
Yeah.
Matchmaker, oh, make me a match.
Yeah.
There we go.
So if you're going to be set up by somebody, at least Roe wants the credit for setting you up. I know that.
You know, in the Jewish faith, if you set up three people that get married, you're guaranteed a spot in heaven.
Wow. How
about
I think you've been reading temple myths.
Baruch Shalom.
No, it's Baruch Lies.
Yeah, both. Kev, Dave Ennett's here. He's your boss.
I'm a little concerned about this because Kevin is our afternoon sports anchor.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He's our baseball
expert guru,
beat reporter,
genius.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that Kevin is being taken. Well, who am I kidding?
Yeah, it's over. You know what? Halfway through your premise, it was over. All right, so Tuesday, people can pick this up. All right, any hope for the White Sox? Anybody going to stop the Cubs? You have 45 seconds.
There is hope for the White Sox because they play in the AL Central. It's not that strong a division, but they have a lot of issues. Obviously, James Shields, the second start in a row where he's completely rocked. That's concerning. The Cubs are fine. They have the best ERA in all of baseball at 2.56. The next closest are the Mets, not even that close, 3.15. So third in on-base percentage, the Cubs are fine. Their recipe, jump on the opposing pitcher early and then let their starting pitchers dominate the rest of the way, which they've done. All five of their starting pitchers, ERA is below 3. They're all in the top 25 in individual ERA. So both teams continue to go in opposite directions.
It would be so great if you were half this good at dating.
I was going to say, call me crazy, but maybe Kevin should go on a date on his date to a baseball game instead of Little Budapest.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But then how?
I'll bring him to the press box and give him free hot dogs. I won't even have to pay for dinner.
How would Violetta Zippity Doo Dah get publicity for her family's restaurant that way?
Come on. Think about that.
She'll still find a way.
Yeah, okay.
Kevin, let me know if you want me to come.
Yes. Call Bella, Kevin.
Good luck, Kev.
I will.
Have fun.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, we're going to do a mattress firm commercial here because Kevin may need one.
Yeah.
all right, hold on. So smartdatingacademy.com. Smartdatingacademy.com. And when you go see Bella, you're going to have a better dating life. But please ask her to tell you the story of the man and the kitty. Okay.
Rare.